Let's do it.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Let's see. Let's start real quick with prayer. Father in heaven, please bless our Bible study today. Open up our hearts to the scriptures so that we can learn more about your grace. Lord, please also give us the confidence not just to share you, but also to pray for you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Come on in.
Do you have a sign-in sheet?
No sign-in sheet. It's okay. Wasn't really any tracking
going on. Because the other one, we're still going to agree.
First, let's start off. Let's go around the room real quick. Just say your name and your favorite air freshener smell. We'll start up here. Ellie
Ennis. And I am the head of the prayer team, too, by the way. And clean.
Do you have a prayer that you'd like to give the congregation that where people can pray for you or pray for somebody you know? Email it to help.
Glee for chef, I guess. Some kind of spice or you know the spice you get at Christmas time with
cinnamon.
Like the cinnamon, right?
Yeah. Norma Joaquin, apple spice.
Apple spice.
Joan Perlberg, pine.
Pine, there you go.
Chuck Edwards, cinnamon.
Kathy Edwards, On Guard by the Vera.
On Guard.
Sue Heavy and cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Carly Riedel, but I don't know what you're doing because I got here.
What's your favorite air freshener smell?
I know she has a smell, so
she doesn't care.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
How insensitive of you.
You know, you know, maybe I won't mention, there's a pastor that I worked with before who had no sense of smell either. And, well, we worked in India, so that worked out to his advantage. Back to you, Rich.
Rich Baker. I like that mountain fresh, that blue color thing.
Blue color.
Pamela Baker, citrus and spicy.
Raymond Stanley, vanilla.
Ray Stanley, whatever's organic and not gonna spit off chemicals.
Okay.
You mean chemicals?
Jim Oswald. Well, in my Camry, I put leather, so that it's a little more.
Red mango, probably something fruity.
Fruity. All right.
Fresh
or after the rain. Lisa Duchesne, Hawaiian breeze. That's a good one.
Phil Swan, I like pine.
Anne Swan, I like lilac.
Judy Montgomery,
unscented,
I have allergies.
Oh, okay, all right.
Jerry Stewart, fresh linen.
That's a good one.
Lynn Clark, honeysuckle.
Avery Clark, I like eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus is good. Yeah, eucalyptus trees here are pretty neat.
Yeah.
And you break that, it really smells good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Quick story about lilacs. This is going to be online, and therefore I might get in trouble someday. But when Heather was pregnant with Gideon, you know the senses, like illuminate for women. We're driving. It was in Wisconsin. We're driving and we pass some lilacs. She goes, ooh. She rolls down the windows. Like, it smells, oh, they smell great. I'm like, what are you doing? Sorry, that's funny. There's a story for you. I am Pastor Brock Grove, and I like the new car smell. Like, that's the one I always pick in my car. Like those. Okay, now that we know each other and each other's favorite scents, let's get to our Bible study. You got printed them off over there, so if you didn't grab one, you can grab one. But this really neat part about this Bible study, first of all, it's done by MPH. And it's written by a professor that I had at the seminary, a really great professor. But a really neat thing about these is that they begin with worship. I think that's really kind of a neat thing. So this lesson begins with worship here. So here we go. Let's worship. What is the most awe-inspiring sight you have ever seen? an approaching storm, the birth of a baby, a night sky full of stars. It's been said that Americans are losing the ability to be struck with awe. Thanks to the wonders of technology, for example, the special effects we see at the movie theater or the rides at a theme park, the awesome is in danger of becoming commonplace. It would be a real shame to lose our sense of awe at things like an approaching storm, the birth of a baby, or a night sky full of stars. It would be an even greater shame to lose a sense of awe in the presence of God. Reflect on the psalmist's awe in the presence of the Lord. We'll read these responsibly. I'll be A, you'll be B. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you.
They sing praise to your name.
Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf.
He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him.
If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer.
Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer.
Or withheld his love from me.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you are enthroned in the heavens. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you in prayer. Teach us now to pray in awe of your power and love. Amen. So this lesson and this whole Bible study will be dive into prayer. What is prayer for a Christian? We'll start with. We'll also get into how to pray and when to pray and what we base our prayers on and all of that in this class. We'll go over 5 weeks. So this is week number one. Let's begin. Introduction. Have you ever heard of active listening? In active listening, you turn your entire body toward the speaker. You look him or her in the eye. You nod at appropriate moments. And you ask questions to offer brief comments to help yourself understand the person you are listening to. Active listening is an important skill. Communication won't happen if the listener expects the speaker to do all the work. God is an active listener. In fact, he alone has opened up the lines of communication between us and him, and he helps us ask for the right things. In our first lesson, we'll consider this question. When we pray, that is, when we talk with God, who is really doing the work? The first thing we want to do is go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to take a look at, in prayer, we approach the Father through Jesus, his Son. Let's open up to John 20. If anybody would be willing to read verses 10 through 18, feel free to go ahead.
Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in the Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
All right. Number one, how does Jesus refer to God in verse 17? Father. Why does that give you comfort?
Because he's our Father also.
He's our Father also, right? Especially when we're thinking about prayer, what comfort has you have that he's your Father? A lot of comfort. Your kids ever come to you ask for stuff? They come with a lot of confidence, right? They trust your love. You get to do the same. Number two, what comforting name does he give to his disciples in verse 17?
Brothers.
Brothers. Yeah, why is that comforting?
We're family.
her family. With whom?
With Jesus.
With Jesus, right? Jesus himself. The Son of God became a man. We can call him our brother. That's pretty neat. Number three, why can Jesus describe our relationship with God in these terms? Think about it, you and I don't always act like the good son or daughter, do we? A lot of times we try to rebel and separate ourselves from our Father, but yet we can still talk to God in these terms. Why?
Because Jesus died.
Because Jesus died, yeah. Why? Why is that?
We have no sin in God's eyes.
Die for that sin. Every time that we push him away, every time that we're not the good son or daughter, we go to Christ and we realize we're forgiven. And
when the time had fully come, so we can receive the full rights of sons.
That's a great passage here. So Galatians 4, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those under law so that we might receive the full rights of sons. We are all children of God through faith. Now let's go to John chapter 16. So first of all, when we're talking about prayer, we always want to start with that. Who we are to God. So let's go to John chapter 16. Somebody can read verses 22 through 27. Okay, go ahead.
So with you now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God.
Thank you. Number four, look closely at verses 26 and 27. Why can Christians pray to the Father? Who's right with God, the Father?
Jesus.
Jesus is, yeah. So, sorry, catechism question. Get a catechism answer. Jesus, yeah, he's right there at the right hand of God the Father, and he's interceding for us so we can come to him. Number five, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name?
That we believe in Jesus and that he took away our sins, and that because of that, we believe in God.
Okay, so we believe in God because of what Jesus did, and we believe in that, and therefore we can believe in God and come to God. Prayer. Good. What else? What else does that mean?
Is Jesus like an intermediary or something on our behalf with God the Father?
Yep, so in Jesus' name, like, hey, I'm coming to you, God, through Jesus, my Savior. Good, that's another one. What else? In Jesus' name.
Wait. I thought we had a direct line.
We do. Jesus is God. It's a direct line. But there's also the picture in the Bible of Jesus interceding for us as high priest. So it's kind of a picture where how can we be confident we can come to God? Well, Jesus is our high priest. Mm-hmm. We can come to God through him.
It's that whole tricky Trinity thing. Yeah, well, you always end a prayer in Jesus' name.
No. Yeah, again, why? Keep going, why? List of two reasons.
There's points in the Bible where God's angry with the people. Remember, Jesus interceded on our behalf, forgive us. It's not like you're reminding God, but there's that idea that, you love us because you love Jesus and we love him, so.
Yeah, there's a recognition of confidence there too, right? Where, people think God is just always angry at us, but no, we can come to him in Jesus' name. Is that summarizing it?
That's, I'm kind of getting out of there. I can't think of the passages where God is, people believe, you know, remember what, because you love Jesus, you know, love us, but we're, you love him too. There's that remind, it's like a reminder sometimes. God, why do you love us? Because Jesus, what Jesus did.
Okay, yeah, a reminder of God's love too.
Because being clothed in Christ's righteousness. You know, so when we come to God, we're clothed in Christ's righteousness and we can appeal to him just as Jesus appeals to him, because through our faith and what Christ has done for us, we can approach the throne.
Yeah, how separate we were from God because of our sin, right? If you were here at Good Friday 1 p.m., saw a little picture on that in the Old Testament. There's a huge picture of that. And I had to go through the high priest to approach God at all. Well, guess what? The temple curtain is torn in two. Now you and I have that confidence that, you know what? We're forgiven. We're given Christ's robe of righteousness to cover us. We can approach God.
It's that repairing of that covenant that was broken when we sinned.
Anything you ask in my name, there's one thing yet that we want to remember whenever we say in Jesus' name. So very truly, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. My Father will give you whatever you ask.
Well, whatever you think. There's three answers.
$1 million, please. I didn't receive it.
God has three answers to prayer. Not now. I can't remember.
Sometimes no. Or not yet.
Not yet, and I have something better in store.
Yeah, or yeah, no, because I got something better, or yeah, sure, I can work that into my plan for you. Yeah, lots of good answers that God gives. But again, what's that all based on? Whatever you ask in Jesus' name. Lord, give me $1 million.
Well, it has to.
Why might God not give me $1 million?
Because you can't handle it.
Maybe I can't handle it, right?
I know, I'm not going to.
What might it prove to me? What am I really asking for? Myself,
well,
right?
When you're asking that way, you're asking for self, but what the Lord has plans for all of us, and so that might not be, $1 million might not be in his plan for our life.
Right. In Jesus' name. Lord, whatever you ask, in Jesus' name, with Jesus on my heart, with that motivation, with your kingdom and whatever's best for furthering Jesus' name, Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Right? We can be confident. God will give us whatever we ask. We ask, okay, Lord, I think it would be best for this, right? God will give us that. And sometimes he gives us an answer because he's got something better planned, right? Sometimes he does give us that.
Yeah. A good example of that is Christ in Gethsemane, where he's praying, please take this from me. Please take this from me. And he's praying so intensely, but he ends with, your will be done. And sometimes we forget that some things that we ask are not God's will for us. Because like you said, maybe he does have a better plan. So when we're focused on what God's will is, then the things we ask, we will get, because it's appropriate.
That's right. So our Jesus, our brother, himself was asking, but then said, not my will, your will be done. So in Jesus' name is included in that too. Hey guys, come on.
And God didn't consider that simple.
No, not at all.
He asked that.
Nope. He had no doubt, he had full trust in God's will, right? But he still asked. All right, number six. How do Jesus' words make you feel about praying? There are some seats right here available.
Thank you.
Let me get these out of your way. Someday you'll come in here, I'll just have a little set up.
You'll be getting us all up.
Okay, number six. How do Jesus' words make you feel about praying?
Well, for me, it makes me feel like I can pray because it says, no, the Father himself loves you. Because of that love, I can present my needs to him and trust that he's going to do the right thing in my life. So I have confidence.
Yeah, and how often do we not have that, right? When we're coming to prayer, like, Lord, how can I pray to you? Look at me, right? I'm a filthy sinner. I can't come to you in prayer. But We pray through Jesus, right? And we recognize what we have in Jesus. So it gives us confidence. Good. What else? Jerry?
It's kind of like when a kid wants something, he goes to the parent that...
Yeah, he knows what he wants.
So you know that if you're bad, you could go through Jesus and...
I get your point.
Your sins are cleared because he's the one that always forgives. I mean, it's because of him that we have forgiveness.
Well, the Father forgives too. I mean, that was the whole point, right?
No, but it's through Jesus that we have forgiveness,
right?
Because he died on the cross.
Right. We can have confidence in that. That will always hear us.
I like the fact that we could go to him anytime, anywhere. It doesn't have to be formal. And I love the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It just kind of brings it all home.
Yeah, it's a good song about prayer, what a friend we have in Jesus, and how we don't have to do certain things in order to pray. You know, I've seen it. I've seen it in India where they have this idol, and they put garlands around it, and they get ready, and they want God's presence to come into the idol, and they set up all of this food, and they bring in the guru who's, you know, wearing the thing, and he's speaking Sanskrit, they can't even understand it, but they all kneel there, and they worship, and that's inviting to God's presence. And they put the food there so that the God will be nice and happy with them, so that he will bless the home. You don't have that. You don't have to do that. You have confidence that God wants to bless you, that what a friend we have in Jesus already, right? You don't have to earn anything from God. You can come to him and pray.
Yeah. Is that what Jesus means in verse 26, where he says, I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf? Is he saying that, is that what he's trying to say, that he's not the person to intercede that we're directly asking the Father? Or is he saying, I might not ask because what you're asking, I might not, you know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. I think his point here, if I'm reading it in context, I can look into this later too, but it looks like he's saying, don't think that you can't approach the Father. Right? Because, but I will tell you plainly about my Father, and that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So I think he's saying, you know, you can approach the Father. Yeah.
I've noticed that lately, like people have almost corrected me when I said something about praying to God. They go, oh, well, you mean Jesus. And I'm thinking, well, what happened to the whole triune thing? Did I not get the memo?
You got the memo.
Okay.
Yeah. It's confusing, or the Trinity is confusing, but we can pray to God in general. We can pray to the Father. We can pray to Jesus. We can pray to the Holy Spirit. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit much, do we? Like we could
since
obviously
we had a class
on
it, I had really increased that part.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You know, because it brought about a whole awareness, because he's the one who breathed it in.
Yeah, he's God too, right? He's working through all that. Good. All right, so lots of good things. Number 7. This we believe, that's the Wells Statement of Faith, you can find that online or as a book too, describes the prayers of all who do not know Christ as vain babblings addressed to false gods. Why is this accurate?
Because we pray not to enrich ourselves. Well, I mean, that's... I went through this thing where I felt like I had to learn how to pray all over again, because I directed God. God, just give this person that and give this person that. And they say when you do that, God's laughing at you. But to pray for God's will and to go, you know, babbling is just asking for stuff. And we don't pray necessarily just to ask for stuff. We pray for God's will to happen, for God to work through us, the Holy Spirit to work through us, that whatever is coming gives us strength. So whatever happens, I mean, that's a prayer. You know, when something happens to somebody and they say, pray for me, I pray for God to give them strength to get through whatever they have to go through.
Okay, so first of all, to your point about, you know, praying to or for people, like, God, do this, God, do that. We can, in a way, right? We're not commanding God, but we're saying, Lord, please, you know,
well,
help
my
cousin come back to faith, right? We can pray for things like that. Not in an arrogant way, but recognizing our love for them. We can do that.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah, for us, we can sometimes babble,
yeah.
Right? But not vain babbling. Why? What's the difference? A believer and an unbeliever praying. How about this one? This one will help explain a little bit more. Frank's just going to count your heads. Can an unbeliever pray to God?
Well, they can.
But they don't know. How can they pray to somebody they don't know?
They don't believe.
It could be the beginning of the relationship.
Well, like she was saying, there is no relationship there, so it's like praying to the wind. You know, praying to just, your words are just coming out, going nowhere. Because without that relationship, it'd be like approaching somebody in the grocery store and trying to have an in-depth conversation with them about something going on in your life that they have no clue about. You know, God knows what's happening in their lives, but without that covenant, you know, faith relationship through Christ, there's not a relationship, so it's meaningless.
That's a good analogy to use, I would say. But yeah, the Bible's clear that God does not hear the prayer of unbelievers. Because in Isaiah, again, your sins have separated you from your God. Right? He does so that he will not hear you. Right? There is no connection. There is no relationship, as you've been saying, to God for an unbeliever. And so he doesn't hear. So that's why it's so important for you and I to help people understand who he is. And once they know him, and then they hear that message that we share and recognize who the true God is, then, you know, maybe they can approach him. And that's all the basis of that prayer, too, is trust that this God, this particular God is real. It's the one that I'm trusting to pray to. Okay? Questions about that? That's something important to remember, because as Christians, we have a very special privilege in approaching our God, the Almighty God of the universe, the creator of everything, in prayer. We have his ear. You thought about that? The God who created the universe by his word. We have his ear. Hey, God. I'm praying this in Jesus' name. This is what I'd like.
Well, it's humbling to think that the creator of the vast universe takes a personal interest in your life. So.
Yeah, very true.
Oh, I was just thinking, I agree with everything that was said. My thought was, like, say something horrific happened. You know, like your child was one of the ones at Sandy Hook or whatever, you know, and you just pray, and maybe, you've heard of God, Jesus, whoever, you know, but that day you pray, just as an outsider looking in, you don't know that may have been the day, the beginning, that the Holy Spirit was moving in to change them, and that the belief, you know, that they were going to come to faith, and only God would know that because he could see our hearts. That's where I was coming from when you say, oh, a non-believer can't pray. But I guess I took it as me looking over at that person, and that person doesn't know Jesus. But do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, yes, but
we can't see the person's change of heart. Can they pray? We don't know if that's in the moment was the change of heart that took place.
Right, and there it is, the change of heart, right? And what would they come to believe then? They would come to believe that message that at some point they heard or was shared, right? Who Jesus is, who God is. And then, if they come to faith and trust in that, then the lines of communication are open. Before that, though, they don't know God's number. They don't know who he is.
Well, that's like, there's no atheist in a foxhole.
I get what you're saying. So when difficulties might come or things like that, then it might get us to look up a little bit more.
That's when some people pray, only when there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we do that too, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
I think I'm just thinking the example she's kind of talking about, isn't that kind of the thief on the cross in a way? When he looked at Jesus and said, remember, it's kind of, he was praying in a way. He's talking to
right,
Jesus.
Absolutely.
And that, when was that moment when that thief, you know, when it happened at some point, we don't know when it
sometime
was,
before but the prayer, mm-hmm. right? Sometime before he had said that. And that's what we know. We don't know when, but the word of God remembered can also be the means of grace. The prayer is not the means of grace. That's what I'm trying to guard against, right? Somebody can't, if they don't know God, they can't say, Lord, bring me to faith, and they won't come to faith. They won't pray to him in the first place unless they have that faith which is created by the means of grace. means of grace, the word of God, and
sacraments,
and you know, so the sacraments, baptism, the Lord's Supper, but also hearing the message, right? So the gospel and word and sacraments is over.
I'll just say, you just said the remembered word, so this is a good reminder to us of sharing the gospel as much as we can. You know, we go and knock on someone's door, they never heard it before, you never know, you plant that seed, they go through a horrific incident, maybe they recall back to that moment, how we can have confidence in knowing
where
it happened, and they start, whatever, you know, we don't know how all that works internally, but something can start working. It's just a good reminder for us to be sharing that word when we have opportunity to plant those seeds.
Yeah, they're in the foxhole, and they remember what Brett Bengel told them that time, that you and Kim canvassing, or Jim Oswald, or any one of you, right? I think it's going to be amazing when we get to heaven someday, and we're like, no kidding, you? I remember you. How many times is that going to happen?
Prayers and just asking for something, it's also giving thanks for the blessings that we have received.
Yep, and we'll talk about that in a further lesson, but you're right, lots of things we can do. Thanksgiving, confession of sins is a prayer. We can praise God, that's prayer. All of that, yeah, giving thanks. Asking Pamela, Hannah?
No, I was just going to say, when I was in Japan, one thing that they always told, story they always told was, they give out business cards, because the Japanese really honor business cards. They never put them in their back pocket, they have a special case for them. And the neat thing was, is there was one man who had gotten one of these but business cards from pastor, and 10 years later he showed up at church. Wow. And he never, and so it meant something to him, and the Holy Spirit knows that right time. You know, and I don't know if he continued coming or whatever, but it was one of those things, you never know when that seed's planted, how the Holy Spirit will lead them, you know? And so we can be bold. Sometimes we're scared to be bold, but we can be bold in sharing that, because you never know how long it will take that person. And it's God's timeline, not ours.
Right. I'm an example of that. You know, I'm a pastor. Because some vicar at my congregation growing up just asked the question, have you ever thought about being a pastor? Planted that seed, and then 9-10 years later, when I was reevaluating my life, what do I want to be? Pastor came along. That's it. You don't like it. You're just doing that because it's going to be on your mind.
No, I'm not.
All right, next one. His word in my life. A chaplain of the Kansas State Legislature was once reprimanded for offering prayers explicitly in the name of Jesus. A member of the legislature who was a Unitarian, if you don't know Unitarian, that means like all religions, all, everybody together will go to heaven. That's a Unitarian, I believe, I remember. That's a Universalist. Unitarian might be all religions that are saying the same thing, I forget.
The Unity Church, that's what they were.
What's that?
Unity Church, that's why they're Unitarian, Unity.
Unity Church might be similar, it might not. Sometimes the Unity Church can talk about a different type of Christian. But, yeah. Now, a member of the legislature who was a Unitarian complained, this man has to learn to pray more inclusively, meaning that the chaplain should avoid mentioning Jesus in his prayers. What do you think the chaplain should do?
Keep praying.
Tell the guy to shut up.
Be quiet.
Tell the guy to shut up, Jim. Come on, you know that.
He's not praying. It would be exactly what he's doing. He meant exclusively. So that the guy was supposed to include everybody.
Okay, so yeah, so the chaplain wants to,
maybe I haven't heard that.
To pray on people's behalf, right? And he's praying in the name of Jesus. So what should the chaplain do? Probably not tell him to shut up, because that would be... That wouldn't be giving good witness. So.
Could you just have a moment of silence where people just do their own prayer on their own, you know?
You could, but usually these prayers are meant to, you know, a lot of times it's just meant to bring religion into it in some way. But sometimes, you know, these guys are Christians and they do want to bless the meeting. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are, but I'm a good chaplain.
Well, I think you should share what we just read in John 16. Share that you pray in Jesus' name.
Because why?
Because Jesus said to.
Okay, so you could, well, because Jesus said to. What did we all just talk about?
We're believers.
Confidence. What praying in Jesus' name means. So the chaplain could share what that means. what it means to him and the confidence that he receives from them. Be an opportunity to witness his faith. What else could you say?
Well, explain it personally, maybe on the side and speak him personally.
Okay, talk to the man personally, maybe a little bit later.
Share that information.
Yeah.
Or you can say, you know, no offense to Buddha or Muhammad or whoever you pray to. This is
no offense to Buddha, but I'm gonna pray now. Jesus, no, I'm just joking. But yeah, say that I don't mean it in any offense. Yeah. Let me explain it in a kind, gentle way.
Well, explain it. That's just part of prayer. That's what a prayer is.
Okay, and then explain why, right?
For
a Christian.
This, if I leave that out, it's not the prayer that I've been assigned to give. And show up.
Okay. Yeah, those are all the good things. Pray for people that do that. It can be a difficult thing. All right, so on the bottom of the page, as we study prayer, let's keep this truth uppermost in our minds. If Jesus had not suffered, died, and risen again, it would be impossible for us to pray. Sinners like us would be barred forever from the throne room of a holy God. But now, thanks to God, the door to God's throne room is always open to believers. When you come before God with a prayer in Jesus' name, God gives you the same reception He would give to Jesus Himself. Sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes we need help, which we'll talk about next. In prayer, we approach the Father with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. A familiar chapter in the Bible. We're going to be reading chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, and then 26 and 27. If I could get a reader for that, that would be great. Please, Phil.
So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful, slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering.
Okay, then 26, 27.
And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers, in harmony with God's own will.
All right. Number one, what is our attitude toward God thanks to the Holy Spirit's work in us? What can we now call God? Verses 15 through 17.
Abba Father.
Abba Father. Wow. That Abba Father is like this sentimental thing whenever you see it.
Yeah.
Call Him Abba Father. Abba. Daddy. Right, Gideon? I come home, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy! Right? There's that joy, that excitement, that sentiment there. Number two, because of our weakness, what difficulty do we experience in our prayer life? Throw them out there.
You don't know what to pray for sometimes.
Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. Lord, I don't know what to ask.
Well, it's totally the wrong thing. Holy Spirit interprets for us.
Okay, so the weakness means we're totally praying the wrong thing or something. Like a small example, this isn't exactly what you're talking about, but if your pastor says the wrong name, maybe up front, if we're praying for somebody, God knows, right? Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. But also, if we're praying for the wrong thing, I probably got this. This is what we want.
Sometimes when I pray, I can't put it into words what I pray about, and I just say, you know what I mean.
Just go, wordless groans.
Yes, you know what I mean. I mean, I don't know how to say it, but you know what I mean. I mean, and He does.
Yeah, He knows what's going on up here.
Well,
even better than we do, right? Mm-hmm. And here, there's a song, a Christian song on the radio, if you don't know what to say, just say Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of meaning back into that.
Well, there was a pastor, we sat in there for a while, and he said, Lord, help. I mean, it seemed to cover a whole lot of stuff.
Yep, Lord, help. By the way, pastors pray that a lot.
Yeah.
Right, number three, how does the Holy Spirit help us? Verse 27.
Well, he intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.
Intercedes for us in accordance with God's will, right? Like, this is what we should do for this person. Intercede. So not only does the Son intercede, but the Holy Spirit does too. He's in us. He knows what's going on.
I'm not good at any more stuff that in the Bible, but I know revenge is a big deal to not go after. And you know, if somebody has done something to you or your family or a country or something like that, to the Holy Spirit to direct that in the right way, because anger can bring about, you just want, you know, revenge, but you have to, everything you put it in God's hands, because He will take care of it accordingly. And so the Holy Spirit can interpret that into the right deal, and as a person, you need to pray to calm down.
Yeah, a lot of times.
You know.
A lot of times it's the Holy Spirit knocking on our heads inside of a cake. Right, though.
Yeah.
God helps in His own time and manner.
God helps in His own time and manner, so that we can take confidence in that, right? Especially with the Holy Spirit inside of us, recognizing what God's will is for us. And help us pray for that will too. Rich?
I was going to say, whenever I have problems at work, I bring those home and talk to my wife about it. My wife always says, have you prayed about it? And of course, I never have prayed about it. So when I pray about it, usually the problems resolve themselves. So it helps out.
It definitely helps. Yeah. Yeah. Luther used to say, he used to pray for like 2 hours. And he's like, what? He goes, yeah, I have to pray. I don't have enough time in the day to do all this. He used to pray for a long time. Why would you ever pray for 1 or 2 hours a day? Well, I can't get everything done unless I pray. Kind of not interesting take on that. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think the Holy Spirit does comfort us and settles us down so that we can think clearly as to how to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so it even helps us within ourselves, right? Not just in the throne room of God, but even up here where it's happening.
We've actually experienced that lately with the drunk driver that drove through our garage
and
totaled our cars and wrecked our bedroom wall. It's been tough for us. I've had a hard time trying to figure out, because Jesus asked us to forgive 70 times 7, and thinking, well, I'm not really up to the forgiveness part, so mm-hmm. I've gotten to the point where the Holy Spirit has allowed me to begin to start praying for her, that she would find help for her being under the influence situation, and maybe get over that so she would stop wrecking people's stuff. But at the same time, it's been difficult for us, but the Holy Spirit's been helping us in our own. We've got some weakness right now. It's hard for us to pray, and it's hard for us to know exactly how He wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit takes care of it for us.
Yeah, another great example. We struggle with our own sinfulness and anger and frustration. Sometimes we just have to get over that, right? Because the last thing you want to do is to pray for somebody that really messed you up.
Yeah,
you get down,
exactly.
Like, what?
But yeah, at the same time, that Bible says, that's what we're supposed to do.
And the Holy Spirit's in there saying, come on.
Yeah.
Well, I had an incident when I was working that a woman said some things about me that weren't true and said it to students. I was a teacher. And it really annoyed me. I didn't even want to talk to her anymore. And that I was told that I needed to pray for her. And I thought, why do I want to pray for her? She said these things, she lied. But I started praying for her, and honestly, she changed. Our relationship then got better again. And I truly believe it was because by praying for her, it softened my heart. So, whether she changed or I changed doesn't matter. Our relationship was better, and that's that change. But it was amazing when that was suggested to me, and so now that's what I do. And if somebody, people don't usually bug me, but if they do, I pray. I'm not working, so I don't have any situations like that in my life anymore. But pray.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit helps you with that.
And isn't it too, like with, they all were just saying that prayer most of the time isn't bam, genie in a bottle, instant gratification, because through whatever, you know, for the innocent people go through, and the person that caused it in prayer over time, isn't that what's going to build our character and to build up a shield so when things do come to us, we are better able to handle it? Because if we pray and bam, that's gone, bam, that's gone, the character building isn't going to happen.
No, I'll just pray for it.
Want.
I'll just pray for it. I won't deal with it. I'll just pray for it, right?
Yeah.
So you got to guard against.
I have had a few situations in my life where the person involved maybe didn't really deserve forgiveness because they weren't repentant. Or weren't repentant to me. You know, I can't see their heart. But, you know, it's the most peace I've ever gotten is for praying somebody that I was angry with. That maybe I didn't really want anything to do with anymore, and or was treating me horribly, and getting to the point whether you want to take revenge on somebody, you know, where that, you know, as our human nature comes up, that we're going to get you back, you know, even if it's a fellow Christian, it's like, you're mean to me, I'm going to, you know, be mean back, or I'm going to ignore you, or whatever, that God, when we start praying for that person, that you start thinking, I have no idea what's going on in their life, I have no idea what's going on in their head, why they behave this way, but when you start to pray for them, you realize that as a Christian, your primary goal is wanting to share the gospel and wanting souls to be saved. And when you focus on their soul and not their actions, it changes totally, and it becomes to where it's like, I don't care what you say to me anymore, because I'm right with Christ, I'm right with God, you know, and I can forgive you, and you have to deal with your sins, but I can go on being who I am in Christ and not let your behavior influence mine.
Mm-hmm.
And you find the most incredible amount of peace that you can go through life, and you don't get offended as much, you're much more forgiving because you're focused on that person's soul and their well-being with Christ, because I know I'm okay. I don't have to worry about my faith, you know, because I'm walking daily with God, and I'm, you know, praying for that person. And it just, it totally, and unfortunately, it took me, you know, till I was in my early 40s to get to that part where God made that all clear. And it's just been, you deal with your marriage differently, you deal with your kids differently, you deal with
you can understand why Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you, right? Because that not only does it help them, but it helps refocus you too. All right, number four, evaluate. Some churches teach that an unbeliever can become a Christian by praying a prayer in which he invites Jesus into his heart.
Well, we already established earlier that God does not hear the prayers of an unbeliever.
Yeah, so it's...
So how can the unbeliever then pray?
We talked about the means of grace, right?
Well, can a non-believer call the Holy Spirit to come into their heart?
Oh, Holy Spirit's God.
Well, then...
Well, the bottom line, too, is God comes to us. We don't find God.
But if you're praying that, then some door is open somewhere if you're praying it.
But faith comes from the message, so the message has to be the first
part. Yeah, but their heart has to be open to accept the message.
Right, but we're not earning anything, right? Inviting Jesus into our heart, I would say that person already did. By recognizing who Jesus was and the fact that he would love them enough. Lord, please come into my heart. I would probably tell that person, I think he's already there.
Well, he may be saying, come into my heart, but he may be saying, please help me understand and accept.
Well, if they already know the message, then they're actually praying to that God, right? So we have to remember what the Bible says about what we are by nature. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we are dead in sin, right? Kind of what I do in catechism class when we talked about that. I give some kid a Bible and I just go, okay, give it to me. You know, and I'll try to put it in my hand and it won't ever stick there, right? But we're totally dead in sin. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that gives us that life. Stay tuned to the sermon.
The key word is unbeliever. So you're unbeliever.
Right. Mm. Right.
Well, and this also implies that we have a part in our salvation.
Yeah. Right, you always got to be careful. 100% God, right? Even our coming to faith.
That's what I was going to say, that it's putting this thought that it's something that I do, but it's not about me. It's everything that Christ did for me.
Yeah, why is it important? So this is getting to decision theology. We have to be very careful with that. Why is it important that it is not our decision to come to Christ?
If I'm a sinful person, that I can never depend on myself to get there.
So one, I can never depend on myself to get there, right? I'm a sinful person. Why else?
It would diminish everything that Jesus did for us.
It would take away from what God and Jesus did? Good. What else? Say you come to faith, and later on, what's the devil going to try to do?
Pull you away.
And now suddenly you start to look at your life and you realize, well, I thought I made a decision for Christ. I guess I didn't. It's written on that piece of paper. I guess that piece of paper is empty and dead. Well, it was empty and dead. It wasn't you that brought you to faith. It was God that brought you to faith. And that's why God wants us to remember that. It's 100% Him, and that's for our good too. He's the one that worked in our hearts. So if the devil ever tries to get you, maybe not a Christian. Yes, you are. God the Holy Spirit worked in you, right? And God wants to strengthen you.
It goes back to that question a while back about how does it make you feel confident? You don't have the confidence unless you...
Yeah, if you're looking at yourself, are you going to feel confident?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot, are you? Especially when you look at your life. But our confidence comes from Christ and recognizing what we are thanks to Him. All right, His Word in My Life. Noting the many secular activities her church was engaged in, one member said in disgust, you could take the Holy Spirit out of our church altogether and nobody would even notice. 90% of our programs and activities would be completely unchanged. Is this true of our prayer life? Why am I not?
You mean if we take the Holy Spirit out of our prayer life? I'm not sure I understand exactly what.
Yeah, if you take the Holy Spirit out of our... Is this true that we do this when we take the Holy Spirit out of our prayer life? Is that true? Why are we not?
Well, it would... Everything would change. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in...
People would notice. It's like, yeah. Nobody would notice. Yeah, you would notice.
Okay, so you're saying people would notice that maybe you're not having the Holy Spirit. But we're talking about in our prayers too, right? So even between you and God. You take the Holy Spirit out of that.
Well, that's part of
God. I assume that's what I take the question as.
I wouldn't take him out of prayer.
Well, he's part of God. The Holy Spirit is the Trinity. So you can't take out one. Right?
Well, right, yeah. I would say yes to that.
Right?
You don't even need to verify it.
They're all together. So... Can't take one out, and if you take one out, you take them all out.
What do you think? What do you think this question is trying to get you to focus on?
I think what the Holy Spirit does for you is why you can't take them out.
Okay, so it's trying to get you to focus on the Holy Spirit's role, I think, in your prayer life. Could you possibly take the Holy Spirit out of your prayer life?
I mean, you could.
You can.
People might not say it every time, but technically, yeah, if you took them out. There wouldn't be any prayer life.
And yet at the same time, sometimes
there would be no faith.
Sometimes we do forget about that a little bit, right?
Right.
And his role and what he's doing for us, when we start to doubt, like maybe this prayer is nothing, maybe this prayer is junk and God is going to hate it, you know? And then we start to kind of take the Holy Spirit out of our prayer life, don't we? And in a way,
and
we forget his role and what he does for us.
A lot of prayers, I mean, if you're, and there's nothing wrong with this or anything, but usually prayers, you know, start with Lord, blah, 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 Lord, blah, blah, blah. But then they never say Holy Spirit, blah, blah, blah. You know, so anyway.
But we know that when we, like, if somebody is having problems and we pray for them to be comforted and to be able to have the strength to get through. That's the Holy Spirit that works in them to do that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
You can't, but sometimes we forget about his role. Right. I think is where the question's getting to. So, that paragraph's on the bottom. When you talk to a friend on the phone, it's very easy to understand what's going on. Your thoughts pass from your brain to your mouth, over the wires, into your friend's ear, and finally into his brain. Prayer to God is a bit more complex, more than our brain and mouth is at work when we pray to God. God, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling within us. Through the gospel, he has opened the lines of communication between us and God. He also created a new mind in us so we can pray according to God's will. Even more, he himself from within us offers prayers to the Lord that are in perfect accordance with that will. So there's part one of lesson one. We'll do part two next week. It would be weird to not end a lesson on prayer with prayer. So let's pray. Lord, help us to pray. Amen. God bless the week. God bless the prayer life.
Good reliance on the Holy Spirit.
How lucky you are that you didn't have your bed on that wall.
Yes.
There's 100 things we've seen. One of the sign 53-year-old must have been here that did not get cracked, chipped, or...
See, there's a lot to be thankful for.
And we found this church on the same day that it happened.
Is that right?
We come back to the 7 o'clock to fire service. It's a good thing we did, because that's what kept us. We didn't know what was going to happen, but see, God did.
He works in mysterious ways.
He does. And the thing is that then I turned to Phil after we kind of settled down and we're trying to go to sleep. It was 2:30, I think, before we went to bed. She did so like 11 o'clock. It took a while for anything to take care of it. And when we decided to go to bed and try and get some sleep, I looked at Phil and said, I don't care what's going on. The Lord is reserves. And I said, I think she made somebody mad. Very mad.
Well, that doesn't happen, but you know, it's just amazing. You know, for me, I was raised Missouri Synod. Are you Lutheran?
No, but we're very happily getting very absorbed in this church. We love this little church.
I did the same thing. I was raised Missouri Synod, very conservative, and then when we moved to Citrus Heights 30 years ago, we went to this more liberal Lutheran church, mm-hmm. but we had a very conservative pastor, and I loved it, and he retired. And then all of a sudden, it's been 2 or 3 years now without a pastor, and all of a sudden, it's the people running the show, not the Bible.
Okay.
And so I just said, I can't do this anymore. So I came here. Well, the Bowers that are leaving, the principal and the 6th and 7th and 8th grade teacher here, they moved in across the street. And whenever anybody moves in, I take them stuff to invite them to my church.
Sure.
They started telling me about their church, and I knew about Wells. This is the most conservative of all the Lutheran churches.
Yes.
And that's what
scripture.
That's what appealed to me. Whenever there's a question, it goes right back to the Bible.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
not what I think or my interpretation, which is what I was getting over there. And this is just a wonderful church. I started coming a year ago.
Okay.
Last summer.
Okay.
And I went through the classes.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Pastor Brock was telling us to go through the. Or Brock was telling us to go through the. Bible information class.
It's a wonderful class. And you know, I was president of my congregation. I taught all grade levels up to adult of Sunday school over the years. You know, I held all kinds of offices. I knew a lot about the Bible. And I was a little disturbed that I had to go through those classes before I could take communion. And, you know, but I prayed about it. And I prayed for a year before I switched churches. It was a very difficult thing after 30 years.
Wasn't it an easy thing?
No. But I prayed about it. I went to the classes with an open mind, and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
You always learn. Whenever you do a Bible study, you learn something.
Well, here's the deal. When you're reading the Word for your devotions, there will be days when there will be one verse that will be highlighted in bold.
That's why I always think you're
highlighted. But I mean, it will be so highlighted, you're like, is that always me? Do I always read that? Why is that being so emphasized, you know, right now?
Well, you know, oftentimes the pastor, almost every Sunday, whatever they're preaching, I think they know what I'm going through.
Exactly.
Like today, have you been to church yet?
Yes.
Okay, today, you know.
Now I know that I smell.
today, his word, and I've been thinking in my heart, you know, what are my talents?
Uh-huh.
What can I do? And I never wanted to go out in the street and knock on doors. That was just not my thing. I left that to somebody else. And I started, my housekeepers, Pentecostal, or Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, okay.
And they are required in their church to do that. And I got to talking, we talk religion a lot. And I got to talking to her, and she says, the Bible says that that's a commandment that you do that. A command, not a command. And, I started really thinking about it, and the next time you do it, I'm going to do it. And that is, you know, you don't grow until you step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so, I'm pretty sure I'm going to do it. I mean, I have intentions of doing it.
Well, and even remember that when you're out there, just going to the grocery store,
Oh, I do all the time. You know, you have no idea what that checker's been going through prior to you getting to her.
Yeah.
And you know, you just don't know. I mean, I have one that the poor lady had the grocery cart roll over on her foot. A customer had broke her toe or foot. And so I've been telling her that I've been praying for her. Well, now I'm beginning to realize she just might be a Christian. And I didn't even know it. So, you know, you never know.
I do that a lot. I mean, that's my